This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Time now to check in with Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubacon. And John, of all the things that were said or written about Michigan's win over the Gophers, your tweet I thought was the most colorful. I will quote you. Michigan fans probably feel like airline passengers who survived a horribly turbulent flight filling barf bags, but cheer heartily after bumpy landing, shaken but grateful, and now finally breathing again. It's been quite a few weeks like that for Michigan fans.
That got about 250 retweets, so I guess it struck a nerve there. Yes, it's been a roller coaster, but look, the perhaps most telling comment I've seen online from Michigan fans is, Michigan football is fun again. It's on the field. It's not off the field. The team is competitive. You're not going to win them all. The team is not great yet. They might not even be very good on a given day. Mm-hmm. But they're well coached. They're aggressive. They're getting better. And that, for Michigan fans, and it's boneless chicken. There's no downside here. There's no deal with the devil. Yeah. And that, I think, is what's got Michigan fans excited about Michigan football again.
Yeah, even with, you know, if somebody was commenting that Michigan lost a game it should have won and then won a game it should have lost.
That's completely fair.
The great karma equalizer.
Hey, the football gods are very fickle, people.
Well, the Gophers really seemed a little tougher than they might have been, you know, expected, especially considering, you know, they had their coach, Jerry Kill, have to quit during the week for health reasons, which was really tough.
People, look at Cindy Canty's research right here. A year ago, not a whole lot of sports. Now it's all kinds of inside details.
Yeah.
He suffers from seizures, actually. It's a very serious business. And he said, being a coach, he would not take his medication because that made him duller, a little foggier. And he said, you can't coach that way. So now he's got his wife not sleeping at night, just looking at him.
In terror.
Exactly, to make sure he doesn't have a seizure. So at that point, you've got to stop. And one of the more touching parts about that press conference, if you get a chance to Google this, by all means do, is when they ask him what he's going to do next. And he said, I really don't know, and that is the scary part. These coaches, trust me, they don't have hobbies. This is it. It's 90 hours a week during the season.
Got to imagine. Well, I want you to play coach here. So you're Minnesota. You're 4-3. You have the ball on the Michigan 1 yard line, and you really made some clutch plays to get there. And a touchdown would win it and give Michigan its second heartbreaking last minute loss, and a field goal would tie it. What would you call?
Well, back it up one more play, and they got this great play down to the end zone.
Yep.
Called a touchdown at first. Called back to the 1 yard line correctly. And then the clock is running, and they're doing nothing. They lose 9, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And they had a timeout left. So that's poor clock management by a coach who's been a head coach for 4 days.
Yeah,
so that's the problem
that's
there.
True.
No one's in charge, basically. So you lost. That would have been another play. That alone probably would have gotten them the game, I think. But they're 3 points down. They're at home. Michigan's got a backup quarterback in at this point, of course, Spate. And I think that they should have gone for the field goal and tried to beat Michigan in overtime. They went for the touchdown. I will say 90% of 1 yard quarterback sneaks, where the quarterback just gets the ball and jams forward a yard, 90% of those work.
Yeah.
And this one didn't, because Glasgow from Michigan penetrated, got his man, and it was not even close. They stuffed him.
You got to give Michigan credit, because that was they had to shut down those two plays from the 1 yard line or less.
How about this?
What?
Fourth and goal from the one against Illinois in 83. Against Penn State in 93, and now against Minnesota in 2015. This goes down as one of the greatest stands of all time.
Let's talk Lions for a moment or two.
From the greatest stand of all time to the
misery.
Lions.
What do you think that Martha Ford should fire Coach Caldwell before the end of the season? Many are calling for that.
It's not technically her call, although she is the owner, of course. And by the way, I always say this, I need to say this, it's a first-class family.
Yeah.
I think Tom Lawan is a smart guy and a good guy. He's, of course, the president of the team right now. I think his GM, Mayhew, is not good. And the last 5 years of drafts prove this, and Caldwell is even less good.
Yes.
They have no idea what they're doing out there. They really don't.
So who should go and when,
I always find midseason firings counterproductive. The season's shot anyway. If you have a midseason firing, here's what happens. You've told all their potential coaches that you get fired in 2.5 years in Detroit. That's not good. So you lower the chances of getting a good replacement. Second thing is, some guy walks in there as the interim. Everyone's jacked up to play for the guy. They win 3 or 4 games, and everyone thinks he ought to be the next head coach, and he shouldn't. But now emotion's on his side, and they take him for 2 more disastrous years. So no, let the guy run out the string. It's a show of respect. The season's lost at this point regardless, with half the season left, basically. And then recalibrate. I think you also need to fire Mayhew.
Yeah. Let's talk Red Wings. They get slammed by Ottawa at the Joe Friday night, and then they turn around Saturday night and beat the Senators in Ottawa. How do you explain this turnaround in 24 hours? What's
October
up?
Hockey, man. and, I mean, look, even in the playoffs, that will happen.
Yeah,
You'll beat one team and get clocked the next. You got a new coach. You got a lot of new players right now. A lot of adjustments going on. But that will bring us to your favorite goal of the weekend.
I got to tell you, that sweet wraparound goal in the third period Saturday night, it was Dylan Larkin. It looked like Datsyuk.
Listen to this. That sweet wraparound goal. Cindy Canty getting the lingo down, people. I'm telling you.
It was beautiful to see. That kid has such confidence. You think these are the early weeks of his NHL career.
He is 19.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
What do you see?
A couple things. One, Ken Holland, the GM of the Red Wings, the smartest GM in hockey, no question, and maybe in sports. I think the Lions ought to hire him, actually. He can't do worse. His theory is overripe. I will not bring you up to the big club till we know, you know, and all your teammates know you are more than ready to handle this. So you don't see too many. Ablocator waited years.
Yes, he did.
Glenn Denning waited years. So when he brings up Larkin 1 year after his freshman season at Michigan, it's an eye-opener. And you had to trust the guy. He was, in fact, ready. This kid is on fire. And that goal last night, again, Google this one. The wraparound goal, the sweet wraparound, as you called it, Sandy. to do that well, it's more skating than it is hands, but great hands also. Watch him fly behind the net because he's trying to get the goalie, the net between him and the goalie, and go the other side of the net and sneak around before the goalie gets back. His right skate is pointed directly to the east. His left skate is pointed directly to the west, so your feet are splayed at 180 degrees, literally, and he's flying in a circle in that manner and then wraps it in. Folks, that is not a rookie move by trade.
Lots and lots of confidence and cockiness, which is a good thing. I don't want to say arrogance, because arrogance is you're so full of yourself, but cockiness, you need that.
Let's call it swagger.
Swagger, I love that.
Michigan, hey, well-earned swagger, how's that?
Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubank, and as always, thanks, John.
Cindy, a pleasure. Look at you.